Texans number 7 and running the ball. Second and goal. Touchdown. Hopkins. First and 10. Starting the second quarter. Good blocking by Allen. Touchdown again. 4. 45 yard PI. Watson. Touchdown. 1 yard. 5. Watson. Fuller. Touchdown. Beating Sims. Second down and
goal. Who else went to the University of Kansas?
Well, it's commonly referred to as the Harvard of the Midwest. And here comes Watson, and he finds Miller.
Here's another number 5.
One. Just tied the rookie quarterback record. Miller with a touchdown.
Just give us your overall impression of your game and then Watson's performance.
I mean, I don't know, John. We just came off the field. I thought that was, you know, good complimentary football. It was a good win, but we got a long way to go. But it was good. So I don't know. What do you want me to do? I haven't even seen
any of the
film.
You got a long way to go, huh?
We got 13 games. I mean, look.
Just this one.
We're going to go down this road again of what you're going to write and what I'm going to say, and you write what you're going to write, and I'll say to the team what I'm going to say to the team.
So what are you going to say to the team after
scoring
this?
Good job, guys. Let's go get ready for Kansas City.
He just can't help himself. He's just got to be a jerk, right? Even after that performance. Let's do this. It's a Monday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And the Blitz is on for a Monday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, Falcon, AJ Hoffman, the role model, Jong Lee, the bleeping master. If you want to get in today, 713-780. ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Jong Snow, with a 0, not an O, at Degenerates975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. It's a Monday, a lot happening, and yeah, I was really excited last night to come in and talk about the Texans. But this has been a crap day, starting with, for one thing, I almost died in a car and almost got killed on the way home today from the office because somebody in a crane wasn't paying attention.
Oh, boy.
And then if I had not, you know, there was a guy in the lane next to me. If he had not slammed on the brakes so I could get over, and the crane was like right at eye level on my car, I'd have been a grease spot.
And the guy rescued you.
Yes. So whoever it was that was in the white rape van behind me, thank you for slamming on your brakes.
All right.
But, no, I have to admit, I've been really distracted by this whole Las Vegas thing today because...
Yeah, it's a trip. We spend a lot of time there, man.
Yeah, and this one kind of hit home for a lot of reasons because, yeah, we spend a lot of time there. We know that area particularly well. Hell, we were housed there for the Mayweather fight. It's the exact place where this happened.
That stage was right... I mean, it was on... It's on the same property that the media tent was on for Mayweather McGregor.
Yeah.
So where all those people were standing is where our media tent was.
Yeah.
And it got taken down so they could have a concert there. And then that happens. I mean, it's just a crazy thing, man.
Yeah. And I immediately, when I woke up this morning, well, two of my closest friends and also your friends, I immediately got concerned because Gina does all the booking for MGM concerts.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, she and Jason were both there. And fortunately, they're both okay, but they're really shaken. And as of this afternoon, they still wouldn't let people leave. But, I mean, I can't imagine not just what the people who were injured and killed, but, I mean, the people who lived through that, I can't imagine what that's going to be like dealing with. I mean, my God, some of the stuff they saw was just horrible. I mean,
yeah.
And, you know, I don't understand how a 64-year-old retired guy suddenly decides to become a terrorist. Because he may not be associated with anything, but that's an act of terror. I don't care what you want to call it. I'm baffled by this. It's just, it's horrible. And, I mean, I feel so bad for people who were just going to have a good time. And all of a sudden, and you know how that place is set up. There was no place for those people to go. I mean, it's all concrete. those bullets were going to bounce around. I mean, this idiot, you know, he designed this to do the most possible damage. And I don't know how you get that many guns into a hotel room in Vegas.
I mean, put them in a duffel bag and haul them up there. I don't know. But it's it clearly took him a while to get it up there. But, yeah, it's a crazy thing.
This world sucks, man.
It does sometimes.
It really does.
You know, I'm waiting to hear what the motive or what. I mean, because right now we don't know anything.
No. And
it just seems like some crazy dude.
But when does that happen at age 64?
It rarely does, I would think.
I mean, that's the thing. You're a psychopath, haven't you by the age of 64 already been a psychopath?
Yeah, I'm trying to think of guys who like went off the deep end later in life. Like, how old was the Unabomber when they found him? I mean, that's the one I was thinking of, because I feel like he was an older gentleman who had just kind of gone crazy, and I don't know. I'll look it up, but I don't have a good explanation for it. But there's some people saying, conspiracy theorists. Did you see what Alex Jones said?
No.
This is a...
not that I care what Alex Jones says.
Well, yeah. Let me tell you what Alex Jones said, Fred. This is a ploy by Democrats. Basically it's got the hallmarks of, so I shouldn't say that he flat out said this. He said it's got the hallmarks of being scripted by deep state Democrats and their Islamic allies.
Boy, if I had lost somebody in that, I would go and just take a baseball bat to his fat head.
Yeah.
But it's not just him. You see what Hillary Clinton tweeted out?
No.
Something to the effect of, it's like, this is horrible, blah, blah, blah. And then said, imagine what it would have been like if he'd had suppressors like the NRA wants more or less control over something like that. I'm like, are you bleeping kidding me, man? I mean, that's not the time for that. I don't want to hear from her or Jones ever again. Just go away, both of you. So, and there's a lot of misinformation going around out there, because Miguel says, still early but conflicting reports say he had no affiliation. Some say he was converted Muslim. No, the Islamic State said he was a converted Muslim.
Yeah.
I'm not going to take that.
The Islamic State and people like Alex Jones will tell you he's a converted Muslim. That's because every single Trump head, when they heard this news, was saying, God, how great would it be if this was like extreme Islam?
Yeah.
Like, because that's what fits the whole narrative, you know?
Right.
And then it wasn't this white guy. And they're like, oh, he's converted. He's clearly one of them now.
It's weird reading about, I'm always fascinated by what causes people to do crap like this. And reading up on him, it just seemed like he was an old retired guy who liked to play video poker. Mm. And his brother didn't even know he had that many guns.
No.
Very strange. And it's just, it's horrible. And, I don't believe in hell, but I always say this about these clowns. I hope if there is one, he's getting anally violated by the biggest demon down there for the rest of eternity.
He probably will.
But who knows?
Yeah, it seems like maybe they could have taken the guy down without killing him, and then maybe we could get some answers, right?
Well, he killed himself, apparently.
Oh, I thought they busted into the
room. No, no. When they did bust into the room.
He killed himself when they busted in?
Well, yeah, I think when they were outside the room, because when they opened the door, he was dead on the floor.
Oh, okay.
Which, you know what I always say about murder, suicide? Skip the first step. Skip the first step, take the second step. It's better for everybody. But, yeah, that really kind of got to me today, because I was like, I'm all excited because I want to talk about how much I love Deshaun Watson and how for all these years where I've been criticizing Bill O'Brien's play calling, it's been great the last two games. So yeah. I want to get to that. I mean, that was obviously the game was pretty much the Titans played like garbage, and there were a few plays that it just got way out of hand. So celebrating 57 points is not something I'm willing to do just because the game got crazy and it happens sometimes. But, boy, I saw a lot of good yesterday.
No doubt. And I didn't get to watch the game live, so I started watching it about 2 o'clock. I had it recorded, and I got to burn through that thing and just kind of it was nice to take it all in as almost like game film because I was going play to play. Obviously not quite the view of game film.
But right.
I was able to just go play to play without hearing the announcers, without all the nonsense. And, man, I had a hard time finding anything to complain about if that's what I was looking from the Texans. They made – and granted, Mariota getting hurt basically killed any chance that the Titans had of competing in that game. And they did have a hard time containing him in the pocket. But they – for the most part, they did a decent job with him throwing the ball. They got good pressure on him. They – you know, the defense made plays in the secondary that, you know, they had more interceptions in this game than I think they've had all year combined. So it was overall a really good performance defensively. And then on offense, I mean, Deshaun Watson looked so good, looked so poised. And the offensive line helped him out.
Yeah.
You know, the running game was good. Like Lamar Miller in the first half was just a monster.
And that's a good defense they did that against.
Yeah.
But
so, I mean, it's a – listen, there are – I know there's people now who are like, well, this is what we are. I'd be cautious of that because remember Jacksonville did similar to this same Texans team, you know, 3 weeks ago. So, I don't think that and that was my initial thought was the Texans are what they were in the Jacksonville game. And quite honestly, what they did in the Cincinnati game, even though they won, didn't make me feel any better. Week 3, even though they lost, I'm starting to feel like, okay, maybe they're on to something here. And then this game, obviously, you have to feel really good about. So to me, the Texans have had 2 turd games and 2 really good games.
Yeah.
At least offensively. Defensively, I think they've been – they're probably 2-2 also, except it was probably week 2 and week 4 instead of the first 2 versus the last 2. But offensively, which is kind of what we are gauging this team on because we feel like at the end of the day, the defense is going to even out and be pretty solid. I think we still believe that. But all the questions are on the offensive side. Do I feel like Deshaun Watson is like some sort of you know, to put it in Tom Herman's words, some sort of pixie dust that suddenly makes the offense good? I don't. Do I think they had a great day? Absolutely. Eventually, though, this offensive line is still bad. They had a good game yesterday, but, you know, you can have a good game and still be bad. I think that maybe he, and a lot of people say, well, when you've got a running quarterback, it makes the offensive line's job harder. I don't think so. I think in this case, it's making it a little bit easier. Because he's just sort of figuring things out for his own, moving where he feels safe, and he's making good throws. It's not just throwing the ball. He's become a good passer. He looks like he's a good passer already, which is more than just a guy who's winging it down the field. He made a couple ill-advised throws. That happens. There was a couple times, like the one play where it looked like he was going to get sacked, and as he was falling back, he threw it out of bounds. I don't know that I would have thrown that ball. I mean,
yeah.
it made it out of bounds, but he's lucky that it did.
And he's had a couple of those every game. But
the pick that he threw at the end of the first half is rough, but it's also in a situation where I don't know why they were trying to
roll it
up on him there anyway.
That was one where you wonder about the play call a little bit. And also, it's very similar to the interception he threw against the Patriots in that DeAndre Hopkins wasn't where he thought he was going to be. And so one of them made a mistake there. I don't know which one. It was probably Watson, it looked like, because it looked like he was just flinging that. But
well, Bill O'Brien said it was his fault.
Yeah, I don't believe that.
Of course it was. It's always his fault.
But RIP Tom Petty, man. That's another one.
You got to be kidding me. And I thought it was like first TMZ said that he had died, and then TMZ said, it looks like Tom Petty's hanging on for dear life. That I don't usually get too worked up about celebrities dying, but that made me really sad. Like it felt, I had a weird emotional. That's reaction another one.
Well, and
it.
I was already kind of emotional today because of the crap in Vegas.
Yeah, maybe that's part of what it was. I really dug Tom Petty. I remember I used to. I probably scratched the records all to hell, but you know, like the Tom Petty vinyl when I was a kid. Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, that first album that they had. I used to always try to listen to that on my parents' turntable, and I think I've had Tom Petty music on basically every medium since I've been, you know.
Yeah.
You know, and he's lasted a really, really great musician, great style.
Not that old either, man.
Great songwriter.
Not that old.
Yeah.
Not a good run. I do a mean-ass Tom Petty, by the way.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think he was Charlie Wilbury Jr., in the Traveling Wilburys. I may have that mixed up. Juggalo Trey had never heard of the Traveling Wilburys.
Of course he hasn't.
And I said,
he's heard of the Juggalos, though.
Yeah, he's heard of the Traveling Juggalos. But yeah, I love Tom Petty, man. It's a real bummer.
All right, well, we'll get to some football and stuff when we come back. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
From the ESPN 97.5 Traffic Center, I-45, the North Freeway, northbound at the Hardy Toll Road, there's an accident in a couple of right lanes, but crews have cleared the accident off I-10, the Katy Freeway, eastbound at Bingle. Makers of Blood and Honey, an unfiltered American ale brewed with blood orange peel and Texas honey, Revolver Brewing, Granbury, Texas, make every round count. The ESPN 97.5 Traffic Center is brought to you by Uberito. Satisfy your hunger for shrimp and beef in one surf and turf sensation for just $10. Uberito above and beyond your basic burrito.
All right, guys, going to say about my computer career. If you wish you could start over, start a new career, maybe you hate the job you have or you hate your boss, you're not making enough money, it's not too late. You don't need a math or a computer background to start an IT career because it's not rocket science, guys. It's my computer career. See if an IT career is right for you. Go to mycomputercareer.edu and take a free career evaluation today. My computer career could get you trained for the high-demand field of IT, and you'll start your new life as an IT pro in as little as 3 to 4 months. You attend classes on campus or live online. You do that twice a week, and that's going to be everything you need to start your new career. It's more than just a school, though. My Computer Career helps you get into the industry by working with hundreds of employers that hire their students. Financial aid is available to those who qualify, including the GI Bill. Classes are starting up soon. Go take the free career evaluation now. See if an IT career is right for you at mycomputercareer.edu. That's mycomputercareer.edu.
And we're back. Yeah, we should just play this all day, man. Dr. Runberg sends me a tweet. Honest question, when is the right time to talk about gun control? I can tell you when it's not.
Well,
it's not the day after people have lost their loved ones who still don't know if they're alive or dead while they're still sorting that out. It's not today. And the people who are doing that, you know, I've accused Trump of being tone deaf on things. If you're tweeting out about gun control today, you're tone deaf. And you don't care about those people. You care about your damn political stance. Come back in a couple weeks if you want to have that conversation.
Yeah.
And then add up everything that's happened and talk to me then. But to do it now, then you really are clueless. That's my opinion. And I mean, what Hillary tweeted out was even worse because that was just pure political agenda. Let's use a tragedy to push our political agenda.
So as for the Unabomber, I was trying to figure out how old he was when he lost it. He was old when he got caught, but he was not old when he did his first bombing because he started those bombings in 1978. So he was 36 years old when he did his first bombing. 1995 is when he got caught. So I was thinking, like, in my head, he was, like, in his 50s when they caught him. So, you know, but even then, he had started earlier and just kind of, he was tough to find.
936 says the most impressive part of Watson's day was the pick he threw down by the end zone. He raised his hand saying, my fault, owned his mistake, and moved on. And I love the way he came back from that. The very next drive, next time he got the ball, They went on that 14-play, 75-yard drive that basically ate up half the third quarter and put the game away. That's what impressed me. That's what a good player does. When you make a mistake, you don't come back and make another one. You come out, you slow it down, you do what it takes. I love this kid, man. I don't know if he can keep playing at this level, but I do think there's a little pixie dust here. He does make the rest of the offense better.
Yeah.
Because as a running threat, and I got to say, Bill O'Brien, some of the play calls, man, the misdirection. Yeah, did you ever think you see Bill O'Brien calling an option play?
Oh, no.
But some of the movement they're doing is taking advantage of his skills and his ability to run with the football. And he's so elusive in the pocket, and he has such good pocket presence. If he stays healthy, he's gonna put up some big numbers. And when was the last time you saw an offense where they scored in the red zone from the Texans, where they scored touchdowns, where in Deshaun Watson's case, through touchdown passes? I mean, even Matt Schaub, when he was having his
great years. Well, and not to tight ends.
No.
Like, actual finding receivers in the end zone, which is crazy. I mean, it just doesn't happen around here.
Yeah.
And you know what? While we're giving props, Will Fuller, and you know what I think of Will Fuller, it ain't much. And Will Fuller did have some drops yesterday, too. But he caught two touchdown passes. And, you know, maybe they've got some chemistry there. The team just seems to have a different energy when Deshaun Watson is out there.
Yeah, and he's got a really great grasp on this offense for as little as he's been in it. And I like the kid coming out of the draft. He's been better than I thought he was going to be, faster than I thought he was going to be, and he just seems to keep getting better each week. And that's the thing you want to see. And I really enjoyed everything about that game, and I just couldn't find much to complain about. I'd like to have seen a little more pressure from the defensive line, but guess what? When you're up 37-14, here's one minor criticism. What is J.J. Watt doing in there late in the game?
Well, what's Deshaun Watson doing in there late?
Well, they got him out with 7 minutes to go. It was a little – I would have pulled him sooner.
I would have pulled him a series sooner for sure.
But, okay, at least they got him out with 7 minutes. And boy, Tom Savage on his one drop back looked like the Tom Savage I remember from week one.
Yeah, but J.J. Watt, I would have had off the field.
Yeah, I don't know what he's doing out there.
I would have had Jadeveon Clowney off the field. I didn't understand that.
Yeah, and I didn't like seeing Mariota get hurt because – I don't think it would have mattered yesterday, because by the time he'd have got back on the field in the third quarter, if he'd come back, it was going to be 37-14, and I don't think he's coming back from that. But it was kind of fun watching them go after each other, and I was sorry to see him get hurt, but it doesn't look like it's going to be very serious.
I hope not, because that's one of the games I want to play with you a little bit later in this show, and I'll go ahead and give you – I want the audience to play along as well. But one of the things I was thinking about yesterday is, if you had a chance to start a new franchise today, 1 through 4, how do you rank the quarterbacks in the AFC South? Who you would want to, who you would want least? I think 4 we can probably agree is like unanimous decision.
Yeah.
But I think 1 through 3, I think we'll get a variety of answers.
I agree.
And I think you and I will have a variety of answers. I think Jong may even have a different variety of answers than me. So... I'm curious your thoughts on that. I'll tell you right now.
It's one of the two guys we saw yesterday. I'm worried Andrew Luck is broken.
Okay.
And I like the upside of both these guys. Now, I've got...
Would you agree that neither of them has the overall upside of Andrew Luck?
No, I wouldn't agree with that necessarily.
Okay. All right.
I think they have a dimension he doesn't have, in that while he's mobile... They've got a lot of quickness in the pocket, which is not something he had. It takes him a second to get going back there. And when he takes off running, yes, in a straight line, he's very mobile. But he also, I think he's really, really good. But if you're asking me for long-term and upside, I'm going to take, well, Mariota's gotten hurt too. And I can't, it's too early to put Watson at the top of that list. But if you tell me I'm getting the player I've seen the last 2 weeks, hell yes. But I don't know that we're getting that.
Right.
I mean, that's two damn good games. So... That's a hard thing to answer. I know Bortles would be 4th.
I'm with you on that.
And Luck is probably 3rd right now.
Yeah, not for me. But I understand why you would say that. I think Mariota and Andrew Luck have the same 40 time, like if combined 40 times. I think Mariota was a little bit faster than, but Watson and Luck have the same 40 time at the combine. And Mariota was under 4.5.
If you tell me right now that they're all going to be healthy, 100% healthy,
yeah,
I'll take Luck. But right now, I don't know, man. I mean,
well, that's what I was saying. So you agree that he has the most overall upside?
No, I think he's had the most accomplished career so far. He's gotten to the playoffs, and you know, neither of these guys have done that yet. I think they will.
I think both of them will.
And it may be this year, but the first couple of years of Luck's career, he turned that team around. Haven't seen those guys do that yet, but ask me week 10.
Right.
If the Texans go, you know, 6-1, then yeah. And if Mariota's healthy and the Titans keep winning, then yeah. It's a hard question to answer. But
here's another question. Are we sure of who, after yesterday, are we sure of who the best team in the AFC South is?
No. That was just a bad day for the Titans. Just like, I don't know what the Titans are. I was saying that before. I don't think they were as good as they looked. I don't think they're as bad as they look week one or as good as they looked in their two wins, but I don't think they're as bad as they were yesterday either. But I think that I think all three of those teams that are 2-2 should be 2-2. They're all kind of right there. But
I mean, now, I think the Texans-Titans game is a bit of an outlier. Yeah. I think the Jags-Texans game is a bit of an outlier.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I'm with you. I don't know that any one team has separated themselves from the crop necessarily. What's funny is watching Indianapolis yesterday, it got away from them in the second half of that game. But if you just watch the first half, Jacoby Brissett's pretty good, man.
Yeah, they were hanging around. They really were.
And they were hanging around in arguably the toughest place to play in the NFL. And they looked all right for a while. Like I said, it started to snowball away from them after halftime. But you know, he actually is getting – I think he's getting a lot out of that team. Because you know how I feel about that roster. I think it sucks. But Jacoby Brissett's getting a lot out of it. Is there going to be a quarterback controversy when Luck comes back? I don't think so.
No.
Andrew Luck got $20 million a year. So I don't think so.
I think you're less likely to rush him back here.
I'm with you.
Because it's kind of like the Texans did with J.J. last year. Let him get healthy before you rush him back.
Yep. And I think also it's key – The key factor in that decision is where are the Colts when Andrew Luck is ready? Like, where are you in the AFC South race?
If you're 1-7,
you're right.
Yeah,
I saw something about the I think it was ESPN even the other day said there was an article called "If Andrew Luck Becomes Available, Should the Jets Be Interested?"
Oh God,
what? Who's writing this?
Jets people.
Who's writing that? What are you talking about? All right, guys, I got to tell you about Carbach. And if you haven't made out to their restaurant, get out there. It's open 7 days a week for lunch and dinner. The food is fantastic. Pairs well with the beer. Somebody was messaged me on Twitter today or this weekend saying, what is it you like to eat out there? What should I get? I recommended the Korean fried chicken, which is out of this world. I like the fish tacos there. They do really good food there. It's not your average bar food. And right now, Carboctoberfest is going on. It's going on for a little under a week now to go in it. October 7th is when that thing's over with. And it's been a month-long celebration. There's been performances by Bun B, Bright Light Social Hour, Tauntauns, Flow Tribe, more admission to all the shows free, which means you've got more money to spend on beer. That's always great. Carboctoberfest at Carboc Brewing Company. For more info and the full lineup, CarbachBrewing.com. That's CarbachBrewing.com. And while you're out and about this week, don't forget to pick up your favorite mainstay or seasonal and ask your bartender, please make it a Carbach.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back. See, Dustin tweeted us a picture of the BBH Espresso that I haven't had yet.
Yes.
Grr.
I haven't had one either yet.
Is Eric coming in today?
I think he comes in...
Next week?
Yeah, next week.
Yeah. We missed out on this one because of a mix-up. Usually we get to brag about being first, so I'll let you have the victory, Dustin. 713-780-ESPN is your number if you want to get in. And yeah, it's too early to know what any of these teams are yet, but I think the arrow is pointing up on the Texans.
I do too. Well, especially from week one. My God.
Yeah, that couldn't have been much worse. And now I also don't know that Patriots loss looks quite as good in retrospect, considering they really haven't played a good game at all yet this year. And offensively, they have. They put up points on everybody pretty much, but their defense is a mess. But I just can't find anything to complain about. I enjoyed that game yesterday. Deshaun Watson's QBR, 98.3 yesterday. That's pretty good.
That's pretty solid.
Yeah, his regular rating was a 125. So pretty excited, man. It's fun to watch this kid. Plus, he's just a good dude. You know, I like that. I always complain about players that I just don't like because they're lousy human beings, or I don't like the way their game goes. Like, I know you don't like James Harden because you don't like his game. I love this kid's game. Yeah. I love watching him play.
He's fun to watch. There's no doubt about it.
And yeah, every now and then it's gonna lead to some goofy stuff that's gonna get you in trouble, like that interception. But man, it's so much more fun than watching the Bill O'Brien run the ball one yard, incomplete pass on third down. Oh wait, holding penalty, back him up, screen pass. That's pretty much been the offense until now.
Yeah.
So I'm really happy to see this. This is extremely, extremely fun. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776 if you want to get in. Kind of curious your thoughts on yesterday's game. Be happy to take your calls. I want to know if people are excited. I don't want to overreact, because you tend to overreact on good or bad performances.
Right.
But, I mean, it's hard not. This is the best performance of the O'Brien era. It's the most points they've ever scored. It's as good as they ever looked. I kind of wish he'd at least not be a complete dickweed about it.
Yeah, I mean.
But what are you going to do?
Listen, when you're smug when you lose, I guess you should be smug when you win, right?
I suppose.
Otherwise, you just look like a total a-hole.
Yeah, I mean, but it would have been nice if he'd come out and said something other than.
Like, how about, man, this feels really good. Because you know that's what he had to feel that way.
Yeah, or just, hey.
And honestly, you know he probably felt pretty good about how they played last weekend, but you can't always say it after a loss.
Right.
You know, and he probably didn't feel really good after the Bengals win, but it's not like you can say, we still suck. I mean, this is the first game where you've played well on both sides of the ball. You should be able to come out and say, you know what, I was really happy with how the team played. And, you know, maybe even pat himself on the back a little bit, because he did a good job once.
And maybe pat your opponent on the back a little bit and just say, hey, this is a really good effort against a damn good football team. I'm really proud of these guys, but we got another one coming up. That would have done it too. So, 713-780-ESPN. Somebody says, thank you for your picks, by the way. They were solid. I had a good weekend.
I had a weekend where I think I was one game under 500. So, I think now my overall record is one game over 500 between college and NFL combined. So, I'm continuing the grind.
I was 2-1 on my pregame picks, but I hit my main play and my secondary play. The only one I missed was Vanderbilt, and that was kind of a tough beat because
that one hurt. That was
they
one
get within
losses.
Seven, and Florida's got the 4th-and-1, and all you need to do is make a tackle, even if they get the first down, and then Florida's going to kneel on it, and that's a win. So I was not feeling good after that, but then I wasn't feeling real good about SMU covering against UConn either when it was 28-28 in the fourth quarter, but then they turned it on, and you see that a lot. If you're on the other end of that, you're thinking, golly, I was on the right team. It just
didn't work out.
And then I hammered the
You bait. Always feel that way, though.
Yeah.
And I'm sure, like, when I'm on the right side of things, there's people who
got lucky. I feel like I made the right bet, even if they hadn't covered, simply because UConn played its best game of the year by far.
Yeah.
And they still didn't cover. So I was happy with that one, and then I hammered the Bengals yesterday. That was my other play.
I was, like, watching the Duke game, and actually I listened to half of the Duke game on my way home from Beaumont, and I got to watch the second half when I got home, I don't even know what time it was, Saturday night or Friday night, that I got home absurdly late after the fights. Duke outplayed Miami, and things just didn't go their way. All the breaks went Miami's way, and I didn't hate that bet.
Yeah.
Northwestern plus 15 gave me some sweat, but in the end it worked out.
Yeah.
Baylor plus 17. I felt pretty good about that the whole time. The Virginia Tech game, I was just wrong.
And that sucked because, you know, in our pool, I missed one game.
It was that?
That one.
Yeah.
And everything else wasn't even close. I mean, it was just easy.
And, you know, there's on the NFL, I went 2-3 in the NFL. I was 3-3 in college, 2-3 in the NFL. I hit the Baltimore Pittsburgh under, and I hit the Niners plus 7. The miss that I had on Chicago Green Bay was barely, and I felt like I still made the right play there. I mean, you can't turn it over inside the 5
right.
A couple times. But my other two plays, I had Miami plus 3. Miami's horrible. I mean, they are.
Yeah, that offense is just it's as bad as the Texans were week one.
Like, if you came away from that and said, you know, the Saints are really good, I don't know what to tell you. I don't think the Saints are very good, and they are worlds better than the Dolphins. The Dolphins are a train wreck. And then my other loss was the Titans, and I wasn't even close on that. So I was way off on the NFL this week.
It's funny because the only play I made was the Bengals, but the other game that I was going to play was – I just could not – bring myself to bet the Jets. And
well, it all depended on what the number you got it at was.
It was Jaguars minus 3.
Yeah.
And as it turned out, that could have easily gone either way. So I like games where it's not going to go. Like the Bengals game, when it's 31-0, I'm like, okay, I got nothing to worry about here. I think they're going to cover the 3. I think we're fine.
Well, that's what the Jags minus 3 is. When you hit the number, it's like, oh, well, that's I guess they had, you know, it was 3 one way or the other. In overtime, you never know what's going to happen in overtime.
Yeah.
You know, the Jags could easily have won that game. Then we'd be talking about them in first place, which is crazy to think about.
Yeah.
But, that was a game where the Jets were better offensively than they have been, and it's all a matter of who gets the coin, who wins the coin toss in overtime, decides your bet. I don't always lie. I wouldn't want to play that.
And Bilal Powell actually.
Bilal Powell had a crazy good game. Yeah.
We'll do all the games at 5 o'clock. So if you're wondering about your team, they will be talked about at 5 o'clock. So
we'll get to it.
Your call's next, though.
We'll get to Tri-Eagle Energy also, guys. Shopping for electricity rates, it's not fun. It isn't fun at all. But Tri-Eagle's trying to make it easier for you. This is a born and raised in Texas company. They provide simple fixed rates. And what that means is you're going to pay the same rate no matter how much or how little electricity you use. There's no hidden fees. There's an easy, fast sign-up process with no gimmicks, no surprises on your bill. And not only are they trying to give you better rates, which they do, but they're also trying to make your home more energy efficient. They're trying to make you use less energy so you pay less for your energy overall. Sign up for the basic Eagle 12 that'll lock you in for 12 months at 8.7 cents when you use our promo code ESPN. You will receive a weekly usage update, so you already have an estimate for your energy charges before your bill hits the mail. Guys, I don't know what you're waiting for. It's an easy decision you can feel good about. Give them a call, 877-93-EAGLE, or visit TriEagleEnergy.com. That's TriEagleEnergy.com, PUCT number 10064.
To the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Anxious about the recent election and the impact on your business? Let HRNP help you navigate through the uncertainty. Listen to your favorite ESPN 97.5 show on the go with the ESPN 97.5 app for iOS or Android. Now back to the Blitz with Fred and AJ.
And we are back on
the Blitz. 713-780-ESPN. Cody says, isn't Buffalo plus four at Cincinnati a little ridiculous? I haven't actually looked. The only thing I looked at was I wanted to see what the SMU-Houston line was. And it opened at 8 before I could get on it because my website didn't have it. It's down to 5.
Yeah.
So I may money line SMU in that game. I haven't decided. But, yeah, Jameson said the Jets suck so bad they can't even get tanking right. Yeah. That's two pretty good wins in a row for them.
Yeah.
And
same with the Bills. They can't tank either.
Yeah, yeah. Bills go in and beat it. That was another game I thought about taking the Bills at plus 8, and I chickened out.
I don't know. I didn't know. At home, I didn't know what to think of Atlanta. And I'm honestly to the point where I was thinking about this on the way in. Who in the NFL right now do you know is really good?
Yeah, we talked about this last week.
It's changing every week, though.
And if the Chiefs lose to the Redskins tonight?
I can't think of one team. If the Chiefs lose to the Redskins tonight, I can't think of one team that I can say is definitely good. I think the Patriots are going to be okay. I think the Falcons will be fine. You know, history tells us that teams like Seattle, Atlanta, Pittsburgh will probably be okay. But I don't know. I haven't seen them impress. It's a weird, year.
It's teams like Pittsburgh, New England, Green Bay, Seattle. I think they'll get better as the season goes on. And while they don't look good now, I think they will later. But as far as, I don't know if the Raiders are any good. I thought they were going to be good, and maybe they'll turn it around, but there's not that track record like those other teams have. Squeezing a call real quick. Alan, you're on the Blitz.
What's going on, guys?
Sports.
Sad day. I was just wondering, before the Texans game Sunday, my mind was set. I'm a diehard Texans fan, but my mind was set, you know, Tennessee definitely going to win the division. I saw Texans at plus 300, so I was like, that's good odds, so I took it. But after Sunday, I really think that Houston might end up pulling out winning the division. You know, maybe we'll get 10 wins this year. I just want to know what y'all guys thought on it, and hope y'all have a good evening.
Well, here's where we're at. We are at the quarter turn.
Right.
So if I told you, we discussed what we thought the Texans would be through 4 weeks. I think everyone assumed that the Patriots game was a loss no matter what.
I thought they'd be 3-1. They're one game behind where I thought they'd be.
Okay.
But I also,
but do you feel better about them than you did before week one?
I do feel better about them than I did before week one because I feel like they've got a quarterback now and a damn good one.
What do you think is going to happen in their next four? Chiefs, Browns, at Seahawks, Colts.
I think the Chiefs game, I want to wait and see what happens tonight. I mean, it's going to be a short week for the Chiefs.
But not really that short. I mean, going from Monday night to Sunday night.
Yeah, but it's still a disrupted practice week. It's not the same when you play Monday night. So it's not like Sunday to Thursday, but it's still a short week. So I want to see how things go tonight. Right now that game's a pick 'em, which doesn't surprise me. But I think if the Texans play offense like they're playing, I think we're looking at a shootout. And yeah, I think they're going to have trouble with some of the like Hunt and Hill are going to be a real problem for the Texans defense because they seem to struggle with speedy guys, and Kelsey too. I mean, those are some damn good weapons. But if they can get pressure on Alex Smith, which they've managed to do a couple times, playoff game notwithstanding, I think they can win that game, and I think they beat the Browns. And then I think you just have to see where you are. Is Andrew Luck back?
Right.
But
my general thought is I think the Chiefs are better than them. I think they are better than the Browns and the Colts. You know, even if Andrew Luck does come back, it'd probably be his first game back.
Right.
I feel like the Texans are good enough to win that game at home. I think the Texans may be equal to the Seahawks, but playing at Seattle, I think, is a pretty big edge. I think the next four, we're looking at 2-2 again. And we may, the Texans may alternate wins and losses for a while.
Yeah.
It wouldn't shock me at all. 10 wins, I mean, I guess I could see it. But again, that goes back to I don't really know who's good and who's not. You know, I don't know if at the Rams, that game is suddenly interesting.
Yeah, at first you're looking at that going, oh, yeah, that's a win.
The Rams aren't so much. The Rams aren't garbage.
Well, and yesterday, I love the way that
they ran the ball to set up Jared Goff and didn't ask him to do a whole hell of a lot. Very much like that was the recipe
that's
of the Cowboys.
That's what they should have done last year.
That's what the Cowboys did last year.
But the problem with what the Rams had last year was no one respected Jared Goff, and Jared Goff couldn't hurt you if you didn't respect him. So they were putting they were seeing 8-man fronts against Todd Gurley, and it just took him away, and the Rams couldn't do anything about it. Now they've started to figure out that Goff can play a little bit, and they're having to respect that, and Todd Gurley's getting his. Todd Gurley's a great running back. I don't know, looking through the Texans' schedule, I don't know if Seattle's really good. I don't know if the Rams are really good. I don't know if the Steelers are really good. I don't know if the Texans can win at Jacksonville or at Tennessee. There's too much to speculate on.
And that's the thing. Here's the deal. When we get to halfway through the season, let's assume they're 4-4. Let's assume they lose to the Chiefs, beat the Browns, lose to the Seahawks, beat the Colts. And they're sitting at 4-4, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Here's the key stretch. At the Rams, Cardinals at home, at the Ravens, which suddenly doesn't look like that tough of a game, at the Titans, which is a game you need to win if you're going to win the division, 49ers at Jaguars. I think that stretch tells us if they win 10 games or 6.
Yeah.
It'll be that stretch. If they beat the Chiefs, I think we're looking at a different animal. I think you have to reevaluate them at that point because that means that they have improved significantly because Chiefs are a damn good football team.
No doubt.
So we shall see.
Even if the Chiefs lose tonight, the Chiefs are still a good team.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and that's not going to be easy.
Just like the Falcons lost yesterday, I don't have, questions of whether the Falcons are a good team. I know the Falcons are good. They're going to be okay at the end of the day.
The question for me with the Falcons is, are they a Super Bowl team?
That's what I'm asking.
And that's a fair question to ask.
And I don't know if there's one team in the NFC right now, especially, that I can look at and go, yeah, they're almost a lock to make it deep in the playoffs.
Well, and that's why I'm, being patient with the Seahawks and Packers.
Most people said Seattle, Green Bay, Atlanta, Dallas. Those are the teams everybody loved going in. I'm not sure about any of them. I don't know what any of those teams are. So.
All right, guys. If you want to get in on the action, you know where to go. MyBookie.ag. Industry-leading website, the best place for you to cash in on all the exciting sports action. And if you want to play the game tonight, in-game live betting on nearly every sporting event, plus a user-friendly mobile site so you never miss a play. And if you join now, guess what? MyBookie's going to match your deposit with a bonus up to 100%. And the cool thing about MyBookie is if you're tired of getting the runaround when you ask for withdrawals, well, that's not going to happen here. Decades of expertise, no hassle payouts, no fine print. You'll experience the greatest customer service in the business, guaranteed. And I can tell you, anytime I've had any kind of issue, they're extremely responsive and they take care of it right away. Call 844-900-BETS or visit mybookie.ag to open an account. Bet with the biggest, win with the best, only at mybookie.ag. Sign up today.
Loaded, ready to rule.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.